Communicate to us things we'd never otherwise know, and communicate your protection for us, communicate your love for us. And so we just thank you in advance, and I pray you just speak to us this morning, Lord, that we could have greater insight and greater encouragement, and Lord, just to be empowered to face this world in which we live. So I pray you anoint me, and I just speak words of the Spirit, and each heart would be open to receive from the Spirit. So we just thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to start off by looking at Luke chapter 11, verse 20. Luke chapter 11, verse 20. Let me read this. "But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." As we're going through Luke, it's an unfolding. There's a teaching unfolding, and Luke says he's investigating these things, and so he's unfolding this teaching so we have a better understanding of the life of Christ and his purpose. So it's just the way the book is introduced. And also, as we look at this, we know that that what the Lord said, it's inspired and it's for a reason. But I think as he unfolds it, also we see things that are happening, and there's a teaching process the way he unfolds it. He doesn't just jump into things, and now he's well into his teaching. So he's unfolding a revelation so everybody can grasp, you know, what's going on. And so I think around us and in the world. And so I think as we look at this, we can have a better understanding of our own situation. And two, when we live in this world, would everybody kind of agree, like, things are just kind of wacky, you know? I mean, I was trying to think of a good theological word, but I just came up with wacky. I don't know. I mean, it's just, things are just, especially if you're foolish enough to watch the news, you go, well, it's wacky all over the world, you know? I mean, and sometimes just very anti-Christian things are happening. You thought, what in the world is going on? So you have some questions. Well, there's an element. Nothing has really changed over the centuries. I think it's intensified and grown. But the Lord has put us here, and he is moving in this world, and he is showing himself strong. And so it is the word is to give us encouragement through the Lord Jesus Christ about where we are and our impact, and things are going around us. And so it's a helpful. So I use that as an introduction, that's what's happening here. This is what's happening here. And so we want to look at this and what this particular verse says, but then we want to look at the context, and I think it can be really informative. Now, when you see this verse, it uses the term the finger of God, the finger of God. And this actually goes back to Moses. And, you know, when he is performing the mighty miracles in Egypt. So anybody seen the movie Cecil Deal, the DeMille's, you know, Moses, you know, and all the plagues come. I mean, that was made a long time ago, but still the special effects are unbelievable, you know. And about the 9 plagues that God brings on Egypt and the parting of the Red Sea. I mean, it's like, whoa, you know. Well, what happened in this, that's where that first term, because this is the finger of God. In fact, look, if you will, at Exodus chapter 8, verse 19. We have an overhead here. Look what it says in Exodus chapter 8, verse 19. And so the magicians around Pharaoh seeing this stuff, and they say this, "Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God." They're going, I mean, he's going, what's happening? And they're going, oh man, this is the finger of God. Well, here's a context where Luke is saying through Jesus, said, "But if by the finger of God I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." What he's done here is he links God's power demonstrated through Moses with the same power demonstrated through Jesus. And so these are all Jewish people, so they're going like, whoa, you know, this guy, he's moving like Moses did. I mean, there's power coming through him. It's the same power as Moses, all right? So we see this, you know, being revealed and having people's attention. Now, It's important to note, so we see the finger of God, and boom, you know, we can see it. Can you see that? I can see that. I just like, boom, the finger of God. Well, what's interesting, and it's important to note, that in Matthew when Matthew says this same verse, he identifies the Holy Spirit as the finger of God. Look at this at Matthew 12:28. Same context. In Matthew it says this, "But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." So if I cast out demons by the finger of God, the kingdom's come upon you. Saying, if I cast out demons by the Holy Spirit, the kingdom has come upon you. And so when we look at this, we can easily, therefore, identify the Holy Spirit in us when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, sins are forgiven, and the Holy Spirit indwelt us. All Christianity believes that. The Holy Spirit enters in us. Therefore, we can easily say that the Holy Spirit in us is the finger of God working in the world. Oh, I'd like to see the finger of God touch the situation. And God goes, that's you. That's you. He's in you. That's you. That's what he's saying. And so the term, you think, gosh, I show up as like the finger of God showing up. Because he said, if I cast out by the finger of God, or cast out by the Holy Spirit, the kingdom's come. The operation of the kingdom has come. See? Because when Jesus did it, did all the earth change and there wasn't any corruption? No. All it changed is it changed where he was based on what he did. The kingdom of God came through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? So we can see that the finger of God working in this world is the Holy Spirit working through us. Now let's just process that. Let that marinate. Let that marinate a minute, because that's what God is saying. All right? We got that? So we're in good shape. Right now, I mean, we're in a powerful position, okay? We're in a position where God is working through us, and we don't have any fear. That we don't have any fear because of what God's doing. Now, context is very important now. Context is very important. Because when we look at the context, we're going to see a big overall picture, okay? Now, so we've already established we're in a position of strength. But let's look at the overall picture, because when we look at the overall picture, we're going to really want to be in a position of strength. So he's telling us that up front, all right? So he has just finished teaching his disciples how to pray. That's a verse right before this. So he's just taught his disciples how to pray. Now what Jesus does in this context, he points out that there's evil spiritual activity in this world that can only be impacted by prayer, the finger of God. That's the context. Therefore, Jesus is teaching us that we should stand in the same power today. Okay, you with me in the context? It's like, listen, I'm teaching you how to pray, and this crazy spiritual, evil spiritual events and activities all around us, which explains the craziness, right? It's all around us, and we need to stand in the same power that Jesus stood in. And he says, if through the Holy Spirit I cast out, the kingdom's come. It's come, why? Because who's there? Because Jesus was there, but today it comes, why? Because who's there? We are. And so it's a message of power and not just talk. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:20. The operation of the kingdom, okay? The Apostle Paul says, now this is much later, but he says this, "For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power." Stuff happens in the kingdom, okay? Stuff happens. Now, we just said, who brings the finger of God and the power of God? Who does? We do. So what he's saying is that there's power with us. there's power with us. We make a difference by our presence. There's power with us. We're not just a bunch of talk. Amen? We're not. God's telling us we are not just a bunch of talk. He said, we're in a position of power, okay, in this crazy world. Now, looking at all this, I'm trying to set this up. We're in a good spot, okay? Because when I read through this, you're going to go, holy good night. This scares me flat to death. But we're in a good spot. It's happening anyway, but we're in a good spot, and that's what God is telling us, okay? We are the finger of God. We are the Holy Spirit working in this world. So let's look at what Jesus was facing. Now, this is just flowing context here, right after he taught the disciples to pray. Now, I'm going to read through this about what Jesus went through. So we're going to see the spiritual dynamics happening that is still happening today. So as we see what Jesus went through, we can understand something about what's going on around us. Are y'all ready? Now remember, be excited. Excited. Don't be afraid. Be excited, all right? Because we are the finger of God. We are Cecil de Mills, front of the Red Sea, and it's parting we walk through, okay? So all things are falling apart, but we're in a good spot with him. Okay, I'm going to read through this, and I don't have any overheads, but if you want to follow through, it's Luke chapter 11. Verse 14 through 26. And I'm just going to read through this. Now, this is the context after he taught his disciples how to pray. It says this in verse 14. Now, Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, now that should scare us. I mean, what does that mean, first of all? I mean, these critters are around, right? They're around. It's like, oh my gosh, you know? So these guys are just kind of causing some problems. So we know they're around. So he was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke. And all the people marveled, like, whoa, look at that. Would you look at that? But some of them said, you always got some of them, you know? You do. But some of them said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. That's just an old-time name for Satan, Beelzebub. It sounds bad, doesn't it? Beelzebub, so Satan. So he says he's just casting out demons by the prince of demons. What he's basically saying, Jesus is in league with Satan to cast out demons. See? And so, that's what some were saying, that Jesus is in league with Satan to cast out demons. And others said, to test him, show us something else. That looked good, but show us another sign. You know, it wasn't enough. We don't want to see something else. So that's kind of the dynamic that's going on there. Now, before I read this, I want you to apply this to yourselves. Okay? It's just not mentioned as something far out there we can never touch. And it's just like, you know, gosh, we have no connection to this, because we read another thing about spiritual gifts. We do have a connection with this. But he, so this is what the conversation's happening around him. In verse 17, he says, but he, Jesus, knowing their thoughts. I know what you're thinking. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? He says, Satan and I are not on the same side. How can his kingdom stand if we're divided against itself? No, so Satan's kingdom is solid. For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, whom do your sons cast them out? Now, you're a bunch of religious leaders. You're casting out demons. You said, I did. Well, you do it too. You know, it's, well, no, we don't do that. We're on God's side, you know. He says, so, you know, your logic is breaking down here. He goes, therefore, you be the judges. Okay? You be the judges. Satan. I'm not in league with Satan. Satan's kingdom can't be divided against itself. He is locked into here, and I'm locked into here. And says, they're bound together. You be the judges of how demons are cast out. They're cast out by the power of God, and I'm doing it by the power of God represented. Because I'm representing something to you right now that you don't understand. And here we come, verse 20. But if it's by the finger of God I cast out demons, then the kingdom has come upon you. You've seen it. You've seen the king work. It has nothing to do with Satan. God working through Jesus was evidence of the operation of the kingdom of God on earth. He says, you've just seen the finger of God work on earth, and it was through me. That's what Jesus said, through him. All right? Now, again, what did Matthew say? It's through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it's through the people who have the Holy Spirit in them, because it's the Holy Spirit that's moving. So it has a lot of ramifications here. Now he tells them what is actually happening. And put in your own situation here. Now he tells them what is actually happening. Jesus says, and he's telling them a little story, so he can get the picture. He goes, when a strong man, now he's talking about Satan, when a strong man, Satan, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. See, I got him. All my stuff, armor, safe. I got it. I got this guy. So when the strong man is there, that evil influence, he's got him. Fully armed, guards his own place, his goods are safe. But, I always say but, because when you look up in the original Greek, it says but. What does but mean? It's a contrast. This guy's got him, but there's a contrast happening. But when one stronger, now who's stronger than Satan? Who? Jesus. But when one stronger, so he's talking by himself. But when one stronger, Jesus, attacks that strong man, Satan, and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. So he attacks Satan, takes everything away from Satan, and divides his soil. He whipped the guy, all right? Now let's go back to 11:20. Remember that. But if by the finger of God I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God's come upon you. He just beat the strong man in this world because he's the stronger man. He's the stronger man. And then he says this. You're going, wow, that's interesting. Then he says this. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. You know what he's saying? He goes, pick a side. He's saying, pick a side. Now, he's saying it to the folks. Satan's shown his stuff. Jesus has shown his stuff. He goes, pick a side. Pick a side. And he said, you stand with Jesus or you stand against him. You stand against him. You gather or by default, you scatter. So, I'm not picking the side. I'm just not for Jesus. Then he says, by default, you scatter. You pick the side. Not to decide is to decide. You see what I'm saying? And so in this whole parable, he's bringing out and teaching them this. Now Jesus, so you have the picture. And here we're going, whoa, stuff happening. Now he warns the people. He warns the people. And I'm going to tell you the warning up front. So when we read it, the warning is that when you cast out an evil spirit, you must replace it with Jesus or you end up worse off than you were before. I don't reject Jesus. I hear all this stuff, but I'll just continue my way. No, you're worse off now. You're worse off. See, so that's what he's going to tell us here. When you cast the spirit out, you must replace it with Jesus, or you end up worse off than before. So here he goes. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, now I want you to God is trying to explain to us the spiritual realm and what's happening around us, all right? And in this case, the evil spirits. When an unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. Now, what do you hear? You got this demon. He's out. He can't find any place to rest, to dwell. He just doesn't. Now, not being facetious, but he doesn't like just floating around. Okay? He's looking for a place to rest. He's looking for a place to rest. And he can't find a place to rest because he's been kicked out. Jesus has just kicked him out here, so he's looking for a place to rest. And says, then what he says, he will return to the house he left. The person he left. He's going to come back to the person he's left. And when he comes back, I mean, this guy's been healed and everything. And he says that he comes back to the house and it's fully swept and in order. In order. Then he says he goes and brings, oh man, see? He goes and does what? He brings seven other spirits more evil than himself. And he enters and dwells there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. Like, oh my gosh. So God is giving us a picture here. It's not so much the cure, which is important, but what it is by receiving Jesus. Receiving Jesus is bigger, better than the cure. Because if you get the cure and there's nothing put in the place of it, it's like you kick the devil out. And I don't hate to use the devil because it's not devil. It's his minions. It's his minions. But there's a spiritual activity going on that is impacting stuff. And when he's kicked out, he has no place to rest. And he finds seven worse than himself. I mean, this guy is just in the bad. He wants some bad characters worse than himself and brings it and comes back in and indwells in the person again. And the worst, and this person is the worst position he was before. Do you remember? And you think, well, this is far-fetched. You remember what Jesus, the guy came from the wilderness and confronted him, and he says, what's your name? He says, my name's Legion, because there's many of us. All right? So I get, you know, I mean, you can have a whole family of demons set up house within you. You know, and it's like, oh, man. Now, I don't want to play light with this. But the point of it is to say there's stuff happening around us. Is there any reason why we wouldn't think the world would be crazy? The anti-Christian world would be crazy. All right? Because this is happening, and Jesus reveals it's happening. So, in this world, there is evil spiritual activity that only the finger of God can impact. That's what God's telling us. Because that's what he told them. That's what he told them. And so we know that it's the finger of God through prayer that impacts these situations. Or, as Matthew says, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the power of God intervenes into this world around us. Now, how does the finger of God, and I'm being redundant because I'm going to drive home the point, how does the finger of God and the Holy Spirit get into a situation to help it? We have to show up. See, we have to show up. You know, you're like me, I'm thinking, gosh, I'd like somebody else show up, you know. I'll just follow. This is a good time. I really want to be not a leader, just a follower. I'll just follow somebody else into this thing. They say, no, it's all of you who've received the Holy Spirit, Christ in you. You have a spiritual impact. The finger of God works through you. And I think that's what the Lord is saying with this. And here's what's important, I believe. Here's what really is important. These are truths. God's telling us these are truths. And we must embrace these truths or we're going to continue to walk in defeat and never understand what's going on around us. If we don't understand, embrace this and understand it, we're just like, I don't know what's happening. It just keeps coming. I just don't know what this, and this is not working. This is not working. Lord, the whole world's crazy. Well, it's like, yeah, it is. What is the factor within the world that brings sanity? It's the finger of God working through its people. And so we step into this, if you will, insanity to bring the truth of God where God is working through. It's the finger of God. We step in, but the finger of God moves and the kingdom comes. You see what I'm saying? So he's telling us to make a stand because, if you will, not that, you know, we're the point of the spear in front of God, but we step in and it brings the presence of God into the situation to work through it. And it is crazy. It is crazy. It's not crazy. It's not crazy. It's demonically organized. It's demonically organized, and it just looks crazy to us. See? So it's something bigger than us, something totally bigger than us. Now, here we go. What do we do about it? What do we do about this? All right. First we call on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're forgiven, totally forgiven. We receive the Holy Spirit. We're in his kingdom. Okay, so that's the first step. That's the first step. Okay, but here are some things. In the midst of the evil, here's some things that we can do to understand, to make an impact. And it's very helpful for us to understand this and to make an impact. I mean, if you don't know what's going on, how can you ever direct and focus on the problem if you don't really know what's going on? I mean, we're focusing on the physical problem, this bam, 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 and really they are just subject to evil power behind them. They're subject to the lie behind them. See, so it's not the person, it's the lie behind. So you have to deal with it. How do we do that? Well, there are a few pointers in Scripture that I just pulled out. First of all, in the midst of evil, we know who we are and why this is happening. That helps. I know who I am and I know what's happening. All of a sudden, we have a context. Amen? And here it is, 1 John 5:19. We know that we are from God. Oh, I mean, this place is just going, we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Why wouldn't it be going south, okay? Why wouldn't it be going bad? Because the whole power is in the power of the whole world's in the power of the evil one. And by the way, Satan is very organized. He's very organized. So don't believe it's, you know, helter skelter. I mean, this demon that left the one guy said, I can't find any place to go. Well, this guy's clean. I'll go and I'll take seven of these bad dudes and we'll just go back. What does that tell you? There's a thought process. There's communications. There is action. And they're going to take up residence. See, there's an organization. You know, I didn't write this down, but it comes to mind. Ephesians 6, it says, we don't fight against flesh and blood. We don't. What? No, we fight against powers, principalities, and evil in high places. That's what we fight against. See, that's the same thing. And he said, so, okay, we know the score. That's the first thing you have to do in any situation. We know the score. We are from God. We are from God, and the whole world's in power of the evil one. Now, here's the other thing. We need to understand also that in the midst of evil, Satan disguises himself. That's, you know, what a sneak. You know, won't even fess up. You know, won't even fess up. Satan disguises himself. And so we need to know what's behind all this stuff that's coming out. It's Satan disguising himself. All this false teaching, Satan's disguising himself. All this anti-Christian attacks, Satan's disguising himself. You know, well, all these people are hating Jesus, all these things. No, they are on pawns in an evil situation where he's moving in this world because he's in the control of it. Satan disguises himself. Look at 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 14. 2 Corinthians 11:13 through 14. Overhead here. For such men, now I'm sure there's some women in there too, but anyway, we'll just say give it on the guys right now. For such men are false prophets, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder. No wonder they do this. And no wonder. For even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Oh, just follow me. Trust me. I'll lead you into the promised land. Oh, just believe me. There's freedom here. There's happiness here. There's joys here. Just take a little bite of the apple. You know. See? So he's right here. It says it. Satan disguises himself and he makes it appealing. He makes it appealing. See? And so these things, these false things that we're seeing that look good, is a disguise. It's a disguise. And he will appeal to our basic flesh nature, our ambitions, or whatever thing with us, a wrong solution. You know, he disguises himself. And he disguises himself. It's an angel of light. Oh, you're going to have light, freedom, right there. This is it. Just do this. This is relief. You don't have to. This is way too strict here. Come on. I give you freedom. So he's telling us. So we need to know that it's disguised, and it will be different from the truth of God. It'll be different from the truth of God. Amen? Okay, here's one more. 2 Timothy says, Satan captures people in lies. Satan captures people in lies. We know that God only can bring a change of mind. Satan captures people in a lie, and only God can bring a change of mind. Now, repeat that. Who captures people in a lie? Satan. And that's demonic. That's a spirit. They're captured. And who brings repentance? God brings repentance. Spirit fights spirit and brings repentance. Why? I just talked to them and talked to them and talked to them, and they couldn't get it. Didn't understand. Didn't pay. It's just like my best logic, and nothing's getting through. Now, two things are wrong. They're not open to logic because they're in Satan's lie. And first, we're not dependent enough on the Spirit of God to deal with the Spirit of God to work on the evil spirit we're talking about. We're just going flesh to flesh. Flesh to flesh is what. Now, we got good flesh. Remember, we're telling them the good stuff, but it's good flesh. Let me reason you out of this, you know. And they got bad flesh that's not listening. Bottom line, it's flesh. We got to tap into the Spirit of God. Dear God, go before me. I know what's going on. What did God just teach us before this whole section? What did he teach us on? Prayer. Okay, God, we're going in. You're going to have to move in this. Give me the words, but you're going to have to move. You're because this guy is spiritually bound. You got to give me the words that I can speak, and it'll break through, because it's more than just my flesh against his flesh. My flesh against his bad flesh equals flesh. See? So we tap into the Spirit because we know what's going on, so we will speak through what God shows us and deal, and then God is dealing with that other person, and it's up to God. And if the person repented, we go, praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. So here, let's read this verse. So I'll start in verse 24. So Satan captures people in lies. And the Lord's servant, and we need to listen closely to this, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone. But they're nasty, God. These are really nasty people. Kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. Get out of here. You're going to burn in hell, out of my house. You know? Now, what in the world are you saying? And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Love you, brother. Love you. And I can't call you brother. I love you. Hoping you could be a brother one day, but I love you. Sharing God's truth. Sharing God's truth with gentleness. And here's the part. That God may perhaps. Why do you put those? God may perhaps grant them repentance, which means a change of mind, leading to the knowledge of the truth. Now that is cram-packed with information. That God, who's doing this repenting, Ben? that God. Now, what did we do? We'll go back. We're not quarrelsome. We're kind. We're trying to teach. We're patiently enduring evil, and we don't like what's going on with this guy at all. And we're trying to correct his opponents with gentleness that God may, perhaps grant them a change of mind, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. Who's doing this? We showed up the finger of God and the Holy Spirit, but we know who's doing it. We know who's doing it. God's working on him, and he's working on us, and I'm listening to him, and I'm sharing what God said. He's working on him. He said, oh, God, you've got to move in this. It's not flesh to flesh. It's spirit to spirit. It's spirit to spirit. Okay, and so God, perhaps, grant them repentance, a change of mind, leading to knowledge of the truth. And I love this part. I mean, I want to jump to this one, but you can't, all right? It's in order. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. What is the problem? If we don't understand the problem, we can't be part of the solution. The problem is that they have been caught by the snare of the devil and have been captured by him to do his will. This is not a flesh-to-flesh argument. This is a spirit-to-spirit argument. Therefore, we need to be in tune with what God is telling us. Okay, and then what? They may come to their senses. They haven't come to their senses because they've been lied to. They have been lied to. And we want them to come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil after they've been captured by him to do his will. Now, as we think about this, false teaching is ultimately demonic, okay? This is how Satan takes people captive to do his will. It's false teaching. The statement, they will come to their senses, literally means that they may return to soberness. Okay? I mean, these people like drunk on lies, that they'll come back to soberness. Okay? So, as in the case of intoxication, just like the intoxication, the devil's method. Now listen to this. This is so interesting. Just like being intoxicated, the devil's method is to numb the conscience. Just say over and over and over and over and over the same thing. There's nothing wrong with homosexual. Nothing wrong with homosexual. There's nothing wrong with gender change. There's nothing wrong. And after a while, you're numb. You ain't done anything. Won't do anything. But you're numb. See? So, like intoxication, the devil's method is to numb the consciousness, confuse the senses. Confuse the senses. Confuse the senses. Thus, paralyze the will. Thus, paralyze the will. See? And so you say you're just captured in these lies. Now, how do we do that? Therefore, we must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil. Doesn't that make sense now? Correcting our opponents with gentleness so that God may work with power. See, it's not us grabbing the guy around the neck and choking him on the floor. It's so that God can move with power. We're being gentle and not quarrelsome. Amen? You see that? I mean, he's telling us here how to make an impact, So it's like, oh my goodness, what's going on? And so we say, okay, I see what's going on. And so if we see what's going on, then we can walk in, okay, and we can be used by God and the power of God under the direction of God. Amen? Now, I wrote quickly, I want to go, well, like, what would you do? what would you do? Or just right quickly, here's one we've already talked about. I got three things. This is what you would do. So we want, in this world, in this crazy world, what you do. The finger of God, for the finger of God to move, our job is simple. How many think your job is simple? You know, to see the finger of God move. We don't, I don't know, I can think of 10,000 reasons why I shouldn't talk to this guy, you know, or whatever. But God said, no, it's simple. It's simple. And we've already looked at this. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 5 through 6. This is what we do. And Jesus is telling his disciples, okay, I'm sending you guys out by yourself. I'm not going, and this is what you do. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest on him. Now, what is that? We've already talked about it. You walk in the house, you go, peace to this house. And if there is someone there I'm already spiritually working on, because it's me, not you in the first place. If there's someone there I'm working on, when you walk in, you say peace. And when you say peace, your peace will rest on him. The spiritual activity will happen. Don't be quarrelsome, be gentle, and just be peace. Amen? I mean, is that what it says? That's what it says. Now, we're going to elaborate on peace. You say, what is peace? What is that? Well, he's talking about the whole context of his message that he is the Christ. Okay, that's what he's talking about. Hey, we're going to share the love of Jesus with you. That's peace. Well, somebody won't like that. Well, then they're not a son of peace. And if they're a son of peace, they go, gosh, that's nice. See, you start there. So you enter the house and say, peace. Now it tells us, and so we know that peace has a context. So let's look at the context of what peace is. Now first we got, okay, this is not hard, right? We walk in, oh, peace. Nice thing, good furniture, peace. Jesus loves you, you know. Now, here's this. When you understand peace, look at Romans 5:1. Speaking peace is simple. Keep it simple. Speaking peace is simple. Keep it simple. Okay? Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith. What? Who has? We have. We're the guys that walked in the door. We're the guys and gals that walked in the door. This other guy, we don't know where he is, or guy and gal. Therefore, we have been justified by faith because of what we believe Jesus told us. Since we've been justified by faith, we have peace. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we walk to a house and we say peace, what are we saying? We've been justified and we have peace through Jesus Christ. Therefore, you can be justified and have peace through Jesus Christ. Peace. And who's going to receive it is the one who God has touched spiritually, and your peace will rest on them. Amen? That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. And therefore, we want to keep the message simple. So we understand peace. Okay? Peace. We're sharing what happened to us. We just say peace. And then here's the message. We keep it simple. Oh, John 3:16. The message is simple. Keep it simple. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I don't believe that. I don't want you to leave my house. I guess Jesus ain't worked on you much. All right? And so I will nicely, quietly leave their house. All right? But gosh, I never heard something like that. That's, oh, I wish I believed. I've heard people say, I just wish I could believe that. I don't want to talk about it. I'll talk about peace. See? Your peace rested on them. They don't know what to do with it. They don't know what to do with it. And you see how you can follow up with peace. Peace. I mean, the Bible's telling us really clear. Keep it simple. Speak peace. Keep it simple. The message, keep it simple. And then this is so powerful. And again, the next verse after John 3:16, there's not any condemnation with Jesus. There's only peace through the finger of God. John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Oh, I'm too bad. No, God didn't send to condemn you. But he doesn't love these people. Oh, he loves people. He didn't send to condemn. He sent to save. He didn't send to condemn me. He sent to save. See, what we don't realize, we walk into the world, the whole world is already condemned. We don't condemn it. It's already condemned. And so we walk in and we speak peace, peace, peace. I mean, we're happy people talking happy stuff, okay, into a crazy world under the bondage of the evil one. And you know what we become, and this is what we need to understand, we become the finger of God. That's it. And by the way, when you read through all of the scriptures, that's how God works through all of the scripture. He sends you. He sends you. What did he tell his disciples when he left? Go into all the world. That's what he said. Make disciples. Make disciples. And could I interpret that and say, go into all the world and speak peace? Speak peace. Speak peace. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your love, and that you show, you know, things are really crazy in this world. But Lord, they're crazy in this world because they don't have you. That's why it's crazy in this world. It doesn't work because they don't have you. And Lord, with our hearts open to you, we say, Lord, we just want to speak peace and see you work in these people that you've put all around us. And we'd speak peace and that they would have peace, Lord. And then we could just have a good influence, not be quarrelsome, you know, but be patient in their situation. And with gentleness, be able to share the truth, standing strong, standing fast, but speaking peace. That the Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins, and we are forgiven. He didn't come to condemn, he came to save, and we'd have eternal life with him. So we give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.